Well, good morning. You know how I love rabbit trails. Well, I was going to preach a message that was going to fit in so well with Pastor Ralph's messages on Abraham, and I got sidetracked. So I'm preaching a different message, but comes down to the same thing. I'm going to talk about the unbeatable team. Now, the scripture I was going to use was Hebrews 11, verse 11, which says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful. And, you know, we need to know that God is a faithful God. We sang about it this morning. He's faithful. He's true. He's always there for us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not just a little possible. No, it's not at all possible without faith. We must believe, that's what the scripture says, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means he exists. He is real. Even though we can't see him with our natural eyes, he is. He's here this morning. He is here right now. I am, he says. I am everything that you stand in need of. But then it doesn't stop there, but you must believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, there's a condition. We need to diligently seek him. But he's a rewarder. He's not a destroyer. He's not a killer. He's not a thief. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I'm going to talk about an unbeatable team. I've always talked about the faith part of it. We need to believe God. We need to believe that God's word is truth. No other word means anything. Our thoughts don't mean anything. Our experiences don't mean anything. It is the truth of the word of God. But I want to turn to Luke 5, verse 17 and 26. And I'm sorry, I printed that out of the King James Version, but it's not that bad. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought a means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with a couch in the midst before Jesus. And he saw their faith, and he said unto him, men, thy sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, what reason you in your heart? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. Now, I want to use your imagination a little bit. Let's imagine this place is packed to the hilt. There's absolutely no room anywhere. And they're all packed with theologians and doctors of theology and pastors and preachers. But there's no more room, absolutely no more room for one sick man. Four friends brought this man. They must have heard something to bring this man there. Because faith cometh through the word of God. So they came to this place, and the place was full with all these dignitaries, and there was not room for one sick man. So you know what? If there's a will, there's a way. I'm taking a rabbit trail here, I was at my stepson's house the other day, and I was upstairs, and I cannot do their stairs inside. I cannot pull myself up because I lose my balance. And so I was upstairs, and I couldn't get my wires, and I loved to read. I was all by myself. You know what? I figured out a way how I could get downstairs, get those wires. Where there's a will, there's a way. And that's what these guys were doing. There was a will to get to Jesus. Now, we all would agree that these guys must have had faith. Right? I mean, they wouldn't be doing this if they didn't have faith. How would you like to walk with four people carrying me in a bed? It's not easy. I don't know if he was as heavy as me, but you know what? He weighed something. So here he was carrying this guy on a couch. So, you know, it took faith of the guy living on the laying on the couch when they took me off the boat in a wheelchair the last time. Boy, it took all my faith. I closed my eyes and hoped they wouldn't drop me. But, you know, laying on a couch, going through, and then they had to rip the roof off. I mean, that takes boldness. I mean, they didn't think, what's that going to cost us? We're going to have to fix this again. So here's Jesus. He's teaching. Doesn't say he's preaching. Preaching usually gets a little fiery. But he was teaching. So quietly, he was teaching the word of God. And all of a sudden, plaster starts coming down. And all of a sudden, a bigger hole comes and a bigger piece comes down. So everybody's looking, and all of a sudden, this couch comes down right in the middle. Well, that would be exciting. I mean, that would be something to talk about. Like, we need to put ourselves in those pictures. You know, to find out what it really says. And then Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. Well, this guy was sick. He had the palsy. He couldn't walk. How many people do you know today that cannot move at all? Like, we find some way that they can still keep moving. He was laying on a bed, quite obviously couldn't walk. And Jesus says to him, your sins are forgiven you. You know, that was the last thing the guy was thinking at that point. I want to be healed. But then the Pharisees and the teachers, they all get very obnoxious. Hey, what's happening here? You know, who does he think he is? How can he forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. But then Jesus said, but that you may know that the Son of Man, he's the Son of Man, he's the Son of God, and he's the Son of Man. But the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said, rise up, take up your bed. Now, the guy did. He responded to it. He got up. He walked out with his bed. I'd love to see that. Honestly, let's fill this place up. Let's have somebody bring somebody down in a bed. We would just love to see that. And then walk out with his bed. I could just imagine it. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, I would love to see that. But listen to this. They had faith before they got on that roof. Because if they didn't have faith, they wouldn't have gone up to the roof. Would we all agree on that? But there was something that was missing. And the roof was between them. The roof separated them from the presence and the power and the anointing of God. And when those two came together, he rose up from his bed and he was healed. I mean, that is exciting. But look at it. It starts off that there were all these people, the Pharisees, doctors of the law sitting by, which had come from every town of Galilee. And I could see them sitting there with their legs crossed and, they were going to check this guy out because he got to be teaching heresy. They were there to judge. But it said, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord is present to heal them. So you see, it was there. It didn't say the power of the Lord was present to heal the man that was sick of the palsy. No, it says them. Anybody who was sick there could have grabbed a hold of the power of God and would have been healed. All of them. Now, what is standing between us, our faith, and the power of God? Maybe it's not a roof that's separating us, but something is. I want to use another example, another story that's in the Bible. It's in Mark 4, 5, verses 25 to 34. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. And she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? My clothes. But the disciples said to him, you see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, let me just clarify. When I'm talking about healing today, but this kind of faith is the same for everything that you stand in need of. Salvation means physical healing, mental healing, and prosperity and protection. It takes care of all that. That word salvation means all of those things. Now, let me get your imagination going again. I know my sister-in-law had problems with her blood a few years ago. She almost died. Now, she's very energetic, but you know, at the end, she could not, almost not walk anymore. She had no strength for anything. That's what that does to you. She had this for 12 years. 12 years she struggled with this. So you can imagine how weak this person was. In the first place, in the Old Testament, which this is in the New Testament, it was before Jesus died, anybody that had a problem like that was unclean. So you were not really allowed to come where all the people were because you were unclean. But this woman heard about Jesus. She had tried everything, used all her finances, done everything to get better. And there was no hope for her. But she heard. Somebody went and told her. Don't ever think that your words don't carry power. When you tell people the good news, it carries power. Somebody planted a seed in her heart, and she received that seed. And she said to herself, she says, if I can just go and touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Now, I used to demonstrate this by crawling on the floor because, you know, I believe getting in that crowd, being as weak as she was, she would have just about had to crawl to get through the press, to get through all those people. But she pushed her way through. and pushed her way through. And I'm sure she didn't say, sorry, excuse me. But she was determined she was going to get through. And she reached out. She got close enough. I imagine she had to stretch way out there just to touch that hem of his garment. And then Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" You know, he was in a crowd. Everybody was touching his clothes. If it was him doing all the work, he would have known it was her. He would have said, "Now, that woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, you are healed." But he said, "Who touched me?" And then she came forward and she said, told him the whole truth. And then he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." There again, we see the combination, the team of the power of God and this and faith. Now, I am sure in that crowd, I've been in meetings where there's 100 people, 45 come forward for healing. You know, I'm sure in that crowd there were all kinds of people that needed healing. The presence of God was there to heal them the same, because it wasn't just for her, because he wanted to know who had touched him. It wasn't just for her. It was for anybody there who would reach out by faith and touch him, that healing was available. So again, it was the team coming together. With the man, it was the roof between him and his faith. With the woman with the issue of blood, it was the crowd that separated her from the presence or the power or the anointing of God. The woman undoubtedly had the thought cross her mind, "I'm not strong enough to push my way through that crowd." You know, there is that desire just to give up. "I can't do this. I've got to keep going. I can't do this. I'm not strong enough. They'll just throw me on the floor and I'll be trampled on." But no, she kept pushing forward. She kept going and moving ahead and reaching out till she received that what God had for her. Today you may not have a crowd between your faith and the healing power. You may not have a roof between your faith and the healing power of God. But most of us do have something between our faith and God's healing power, and that is a lack of knowledge. And you say, "Oh, I know. I know too." But you know, it needs to be renewed every day. Every day. We renew it by studying and reading the word. We renew it by speaking it forth with our mouth. We are being held captive and are being destroyed because of our lack of knowledge concerning the healing power of God. Ignorance concerning this second member of the healing team has been a reason many have failed to become free from their infirmities. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Isaiah 5 verse 13 says, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." You know, we see people walking around that do not know and do not understand that Jesus came to save, to heal, to deliver, to set free. He came to do all those things. When Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, he took care of every need that we'll ever have in our whole entire life. From anything that you can need, he has already done it. He's not going to do it. He has done it. I heard someone once say, "I refuse to be destroyed because I don't know." So how do we solve that? We get into the Word of God. We find out. How do we get into that presence? How do we know the presence of God? Well, the first place, the Bible says it. It says, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. First of all, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. God's presence dwells in us. He's a member of the Trinity. He's God. So wherever I go, the presence of God goes. Whenever I speak the word of God, the anointing of the Spirit of God is there and can affect someone's life. It's the same for you. Isaiah 10 verse 27, and it says, shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke he's talking about is any burden that you have. A burden that is on you, God wants to, the anointing wants to take off. Jesus Christ, the anointed one, lives inside of us. He's here this morning. Why? Because we're preaching and singing his word. Then the word says, I am here. The presence of the Lord is present to heal you, to meet every one of your needs according to his riches in glory. You know, electricity was always there. It was in Adam's time. It was in Moses' time. But there's laws that govern electricity. We never benefited from electricity until Thomas Edison came around and learned how to channel that power. Wasn't that it wasn't there? You know, I'm sure when the Israelites were traveling through the desert, it would have been very handy to have some hydro here and there, or when they were living in their huts. You know, it just because we have a need doesn't bring the power. There was lots of need in the Old Testament for hydro, but they never had it. But we have the benefit of it today. There's power available for each one of us. We need to know how to get it, how to have it, so that we can benefit from that power. So there is the anointing. It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all, not some, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Isn't that something? Sickness is an oppression of the devil. It'll stop you from doing the things you want to do. It'll stop you from working and being able to provide for your family. It will stop you in many ways. So we need the power of God to break those yokes that are on us. There's two ways that the power of the Lord is made present here. The word of God is the first vehicle by which healing comes. It's made available to us through the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's made available to us when we receive that in our hearts. And all it does, well, I'll get to that. It's a seed that is given to us, and we can accept it or we can reject it. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, I grew up in church. I was a front pew sitter in the church. I was active in every activity, had no peace in my heart. And one day I was reading that scripture and it became real to me. I actually read some of Dave Wilkerson's books, and you know, it talks about all these drug addicts and prostitutes that come to the Lord. And I used to think, I wish I was a prostitute. Maybe then I'd know if I was saved or not. Because I never had that assurance that Jesus had saved me. And when I read that scripture, all of a sudden, I'd read it many, many times, didn't hear it. I read it, didn't hear it. We can read and not hear. We can sit here and not hear. I've preached messages here before, and somebody would come up to me afterwards and say, I need that, pray for me. When I walked out of the church with that person, they already missed what I had said. So, you know, we need to watch. Be careful what you hear. What is the verse again? What attention and effort you put in the word you hear is what will be measured back to you again. So when you hear the word today, hear it. Hear it with your heart, not just with these ears, because sometimes it goes right through and goes out the other ear. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, do you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth? Do you say, Jesus is my Savior? That's all it does. And if you believe that in your heart, that's your spirit, then it says you're saved. It doesn't say you have to do all kinds of acrobats to get there. You're saved. Jesus wants you to be saved. He wants you to be free. He wants you, when you leave this earth, He first of all wants you to be a worker for His kingdom here. But when you die, He wants you to be in heaven with you, with Him. So, it was a word that's sown. We say that word time and time during church services. We give altar calls for salvation. There are people there that do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And yet, the power of God through that scripture is here to save them. It's here right now to save you. But yet you'll walk out of this place not knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Jesus is the only way. There's no other person. There's no other help. It's only Jesus and the name of Jesus that we can be saved. There's no other way to God. People say, well, that's not nice. You're really narrowing it down. Well, the Bible says narrow is the way that leads to repentance. But it's free for all. All you have to do is respond to it. You have to say, yes, Lord, and you're saved. And Jesus lives in your heart. And you are the righteousness of God. You have right standing with God. It's like you never sin. I drive my relatives crazy. I say, I'm Saint Frida. And they don't think I am. But I say, yes, I am, because Jesus has made me righteous. I don't need a group of people to declare me righteous. Jesus has declared me righteous. Do I miss the mark? I sure do. But I've got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But when I got saved, there's no way I can confess all the sin that I ever committed. My goodness. I would still be confessing it, and that's 40-some-odd years ago. You know, so it still wouldn't... Yeah, wow, that's right. My kids know me. So, the seed of salvation is in the Word. And when that Word is being preached, the power or the anointing of the Spirit of God is here, that you can respond to it and you can receive it. The word, Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. So the word of God is alive and it's powerful. You know, and it's interesting. If after the service, we would ask every one of you, one by one, on a personal note, what did you hear? You all would have heard something different. Because the Spirit of God is working on your hearing, and you hear what you need to hear. So it's alive. It's powerful. I know of a guy that got saved, and he had cancer in his stomach. And he called his friend who had led him to the Lord so excited one morning, and he said, "You know what? Jesus healed me today." He says, "Oh, that's wonderful. How do you know?" "I was reading the word, and there's a scripture in the Old Testament said, 'And I will take sickness away from the midst of you.'" And the friend says, "Yeah, but that doesn't mean what you think it means." His stomach was in the midst of him. He received that word from the Lord. See, the word of God, it's alive and it's powerful. And he was healed of cancer in his stomach. Because he got that word, that the word was in the midst, they healed. Because of the word that was in the midst of him, you know. So, you know, the word is alive. Receive it. I want to read about the parable of the sower. Because seed is related to the word. The Bible talks about seed a lot of times. Luke 8:11-15. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved or be freed. You know, the person I was talking about the other day, or a few minutes ago, that heard the word, got excited about it, walked out and had left her. The devil came immediately and stole that word. She received it, but the devil came and stole that word out of her. Verse 13. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in a time of temptation fall away. So, like, there's no basis. I've seen people come and go. They get a hold of the word. They get excited about it. But everything is going smoothly in their life. And then it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Doesn't mean that we're free from affliction. When affliction comes and they have no root, they just know what the preacher said, and never studied for themselves and applied it to their life and walked it out, when temptation comes, they fall away. Then there's ones that fell among thorns. Those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Some of us really, truly receive the word. But either we get into a lot of problems and we get distracted, what Pastor Ralph was saying, distraction takes us away. And we get focused on that thing. Have you ever noticed when you've got a pain in your body, your whole life focuses on that pain. But you get another pain, you know what? You forget about this pain and you go to that pain. You know, it's we start focusing on our pain. And so the cares, the riches. Sometimes we get so rich we can do things that we don't have to trust the Lord for every day, minute of the day. I mean, there was a time I had to believe the Lord for every meal on my table. I don't have to do that anymore. It was great exercise of faith. I've just read the book, Hey God, again. And it was about a little Italian lady that got saved. She was a Catholic lady, and she would witness, and she'd get whole families over there and feed them spaghetti, and she only had 6 ounces of spaghetti, and there was 15 or 16 people there, and she'd say, "Hey, God!" And she'd stir the spaghetti up, and the spaghetti would multiply. It would feed hers and have leftovers. I've experienced that. Never saw God put spaghetti in my pan, but I've seen him multiply food that I knew was just enough for my family and I could feed others beside. You know, it keeps your faith active. I don't want to go back to that day, but it does keep your faith strong. So you see, but we can get pulled away by the pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit. But I like the word it says, with patience. We need patience for faith to work. And sometimes patience is not something I have in a big quantity. So you don't want it now. Lord, give me patience, but give it to me now. I want to talk about healing and the power and the residence of Jesus' hometown. The power can be present even if unbelief is also present. And when he went out from thence and came to his own country, this is Mark 6, verses 1 to 6. And he went out thence and came into his own country, and his own disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is that, this which is given unto him? Even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he ran around about the villages teaching. It does not say he would not. It said he could not save a few sick folks. So his power was present to heal them because they looked at him in the natural. And you know, we can have the same problem here. You can have someone stand up here and bring the word. And you say, the presence of the Lord is here. Yeah, well, I know her. She can't even walk up that step right now. I'll tell you right now, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to myself preach. You know? You have to recognize that it's not the person. You can say, Pastor Ralph. Oh, Pastor Ralph is our pastor. We see him all the time. You know, he was fixing the bus last week. You know, he was a grease monkey. How can the power of God work through him? I know him. I know his sister. I know his brothers. I know they kibitz together. They're very noisy when the Timbrinke family get together. We experienced that last week. How can presence of God be here? See, you're judging by the vehicle, and it's not. The presence of God is not because of one certain person. It's because of the word that comes out of that person. So whatever word we preach, if you look at it in the natural, the word can get into you in a lot of different ways. You can read the word. You should read it every day. You should personalize that word. Make it for you. Let it speak. Put your name in the word for the promises. Whatever. If you see something that speaks to you, underline it. The Bible isn't holy. The word is. The Bible isn't. Underline it. And when it speaks to you in a certain way, write it beside it. So that when you look at it again, it will remind you of what God spoke to you. Because that's God speaking to you. See, the presence of God is present to heal you or to deliver you when you're studying and reading the Word of God. It's the seed of the Word. And if if you have a seed, I know there was a story I read one time of a bunch of seeds being found in one of the places, I don't know, in Egypt, in the pyramids, I guess, that had never been planted. And somebody took that bag of seed and they put it in the ground and they watered it. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. But yet when they put that seed in the ground and they watered it, it started springing up. The seed that we put in people might lay dormant for a long time, and then somebody else comes along and says something to them, and it waters that seed. And all of a sudden, it springs up, and you look at it and say, wow, what happened here? But it was a seed that was already there. So read the Word of God, personalize it, and believe that the presence of the Lord is there to heal you. You can listen to CDs. You can listen to preachers wherever you go. But the presence of the Lord is present to heal you or to save you or to deliver you wherever you hear the Word of God preached. A lot of times we have special speakers come into our church and the altar call is given, but nobody knows this person. So a few straddle to the front. And then they see something happening. Somebody's slain in the spirit or somebody gets the word of prophecy. And all of a sudden, when they see that, the altars are full. Because, hey, something is happening. You see, most of the time, those people won't receive anything because they're going by sense knowledge and not a heart knowledge. It doesn't matter who's preaching here. The presence of the Lord is ready to heal. Now, there's another way that the Lord heals, and that's through the gifts of the Spirit. And we know of ministries that have a healing ministry that the Spirit of God really anoints them to do that. That's great. But you know what? You can receive your healing wherever you are. You can receive it here. You can receive it at home. You can receive it in your car. You can receive it while you're singing. You can receive it while you're praying. You can receive it no matter where you are, because where you are and you speaking the word, the presence of the Lord is here to heal you. Father, I praise you and I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Lord, I thank you that your word never fails. Lord, we as people fail, but you never fail. And Lord, you have a desire to touch lives, to heal bodies, to bring peace, to set people free. So Lord, I just pray right now that, Lord, you touch the lives of those that are here today in a special way. And Lord, that they will not leave here exactly the way they came. That the word of God is powerful in them. That it's ever increasing in them. And that, Lord, their needs will be met. And that their voices will be voices anointed with the good news to lead others into your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.